Hey there, and welcome to the next episode of Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Adolski, and I got my co-host, partner in crime, Dr. Carl Adolski Jr. This episode, we are going to be talking about the idea of obesity as a disease. So take it away, Dr. Carl. What does it mean for obesity to be a disease as opposed to anything else?
Well, so let's first start off and talk about the definition of disease. So once upon a time, 1998 or so, it was thought that obesity was described as a complex, multifactorial condition, keyword, characterized by excess body fat. Well, over time, I mean, a lot of people have been researching this. We're not the researchers. We're the clinical experts that are trying to, you know, pass this on to patients. But because, you know, there's a lot of semantics and debate and issues like that around the term disease and medicalizing things, I think that's where this, you know, there's a problem, and this will lead us to ultimately discussing bias and stigma. But criteria for a disease, in all basic sense, is that it causes impairment of normal functioning, there are characteristic signs or symptoms, and causes harm or morbidity. So by definition, excess adiposity, fat tissue, now we know that it's maybe the largest endocrine organ in the body that meets the criteria for a disease. So professional medical organizations over the past 10 years or so have come around to declaring it, just by definition, a disease process. And if we want to talk about what I think is kind of the perfect terminology for the definition of obesity, it comes from the World Obesity Federation, George Bray, basically describing it as a chronic relapsing disease described by excess or abnormally distributed functioning adipose tissue that causes harm.
So
by definition, that is what obesity is.
We have been in these debates for, I don't know, it's been 10 years because of our social media presence and kind of getting into this fitness world. You know, our intro, that was our first episode of kind of why we're the docs who lift. We're into fitness, we're into lifting weights, but we're also physicians who look at this from a fitness lens. But there are a lot of people that are in the fitness world who do not believe it's a disease. There's multiple things out there, and we'll kind of go over them in this podcast. But one of the things is that, well, but when we gain fat, that's supposed to happen. Adipogenesis, that's supposed to happen. So why is that a disease then? What would you say?
Well, so yeah, we need adipose tissue. There are, you know, in simple terms, healthy fat. When we start storing fat in places where it shouldn't be really, that drive, you know, metabolic disease, or when the amount of fat is so much that it's causing other problems. And this will get us to talking about sort of that cardiometabolic disease state versus some of the biomechanical things like arthritis, yep, even. And so it's when it causes harm that's really the most sort of definitive way it's truly a disease process. But also the complex nature of energy balance and how we store adiposity and how our energy balance is controlled. And then, of course, all the different variables of different people. At what point do we stop storing healthy fat? And when does it start going where we don't want it, that we'll get to later, essentially abdominal fat, or we call it ectopic fat, where it's not supposed to be. The liver, the muscle, pancreas, all that
stuff, heart.
High inflammation, yeah. Disease in the heart. And those are the things that we really care about.
Yeah. I think another good aspect about this is, like you said, a chronic remitting, relapsing type of disease, yeah, process. Is this is what people don't mention when they talk about, hey, well, the fat's supposed to be there. When we eat too much, too many calories, more calories than we burn, we have to have a place to store it. And like my brother said, but then we start storing it in places that's not supposed to be there. And then it really starts causing that cardiometabolic harm. But one of the other issues is, though, when we try to treat it, when we try to help people fix the underlying issue, which is eating fewer calories, the body fights back. And it makes it extremely difficult to then take that weight off and keep it off. It just keeps coming back. The body fights to try to keep it on. We'll have more info on that process, but that's another component of it. What about this component? This is the stupidest one, but I hear this all the time. Well, it's not like you can catch obesity. Why would that be a disease? When I have my answer, but go ahead and say why that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I guess that's people maybe just don't understand the definition of disease, right? Because that's just talking about what we call communicable diseases, where it's like COVID-19. Yeah. You can catch the virus and that causes harm. There are plenty of other ways to have chronic disease or even acute disease.
Right. So communicable,
just based on
communicable versus non-communicable, like what, type 2 diabetes, is that a disease process? You don't catch it from somebody. So that doesn't make any sense. We talk about syphilis, you know, whatever, any bacteria, virus, any type of parasites. We have different diseases caused by different things you can catch. So that's a ridiculous thing. But I see that one come up and I'm like, no, you're just confusing communicable versus non-communicable diseases. And we have lots of non-communicable diseases. Obesity would fall under non-communicable. What are the other ones that we hear? We hear...
people say, well, it's a lifestyle choice.
Yes, that's the one.
And things like that, which is... And that goes back to the complex nature of our biology that works against people. And everybody's different, but we know it's a complex, again, relapsing, progressive disease process.
Well, choice has nothing to do
with
it.
Evolution has put us at risk of it. And there are certainly some lifestyle choices we need to do better with a lot of times, but it's easier said than done. And when you say that to patients, they all know it. They're like, yeah, I know. And then we can educate. Right. But you know, the obesity, the disease itself is not a lifestyle choice. Right. And it's not all about willpower and all these things. The biology is powerful.
Let's say it was a choice. I'm not saying it is, but let's say it was a choice. What does that matter? That has nothing to do whether it's a disease or not.
Right. Here's technically, a lot of people make choices that result in severe disease and harm that are still diseases and harmful.
Right. So here's an example. It's a bit extreme and it might seem a little ridiculous. Let's say you someone that you're attracted to has herpes, and you know they have herpes, and this happens. I mean, you know, you're dating somebody.
Or gonorrhea.
Yeah, gonorrhea. You usually don't know that one, but I mean, herpes is for you for life. So you know they have herpes. You choose to have intercourse or whatever sexual relations with that person. You choose to do it, and you contract it, and you make that choice. So does that mean that it's what you have now is not a disease? No, choice has nothing to do whether it's a disease or not. Now, we will say we'll probably have another episode on whether obesity is a choice or not. It's actually a ridiculous, rhetorical, super complex question because we do make choices of what we eat every single day, but it's not as simple as having complete free will anyway, that's a whole nother discussion.
Going back to the communicable disease example you just said, we're not going to dive into any, I don't think too controversial things, but, this is obviously coming up right now. There are people who are making choices to protect themselves or not in some ways from certain viruses.
Right.
We still treat the disease if it happens.
Yeah.
It's because it's
it doesn't make it any choices we more can or less of a disease, just whether based on your choices that you make. Here's the example we would make analogies to. Similar to hypertension, similar to type 2 diabetes, obesity is on this kind of spectrum that is related to lifestyle and also genetics, mind you. There will be a lot of people that, despite their best efforts, will develop hypertension, high blood pressure, and maybe even type 2 diabetes, and cardiovascular disease is probably even a really good one too. Now, despite that, does that make those any less of a disease state? No. And the other thing that it's analogous to, or why it's analogous to those, is that these are kind of chronic conditions. So people are like, but it's a choice. It's all based on lifestyle. Well, so are these other disease states. If somebody with hypertension develops hypertension and they try their best with lifestyle and they aren't doing it and you give them a drug, right? When their blood pressure comes down, you know, do you stop the drug? Usually not. You usually keep them on the drug. Well, with obesity, and this is something that we'll get into when it comes to talking about a whole episode on obesity medicine, people think that we shouldn't even treat it. with any type of medicine because it's just a choice and they just need to eat less. So this is something
well, here's coming back to. In addition to your analogy there, I would argue that most of those diseases you just described, while they have complex genetic backgrounds and some of them have very specific genetic causes and other targets, most of them are what I would call obesity-driven diseases or adiposity-based diseases. Right. It doesn't that you don't have to have a huge BMI. We're going to circle back to this in a little bit, but high blood pressure, insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, that dysglycemic, that bad sugar spectrum, cardiometabolic disease, risk of cardiovascular disease, those are adiposity-based chronic diseases, complications of the disease of obesity. Yeah. And so they're all within that potential spectrum. So lifestyle is the frontline therapy.
Yeah. But I think we still have to treat it. My brother's good with his friends with some of these researchers who are maybe trying to rename obesity, the disease of obesity, because there will be some other people in certain communities that will say, yeah, but not all obesity is as harmful as others. For example, I know somebody that has a BMI, they're 300 or whatever, however many pounds, 400 pounds, and they don't have type 2 diabetes, and they seem to be living well. And it's true that we have different, what we call phenotypes of where we store the fat. My brother talks about this, but whether you're storing it on your hips and your legs and you're able to expand that subcutaneous fat, the stuff that you can kind of pinch, versus whether it stops expanding and it starts being deposited in our different organs where it really starts wreaking havoc on our on all our cardiometabolic systems, our lipids, our blood pressure, and everything else. So why could we call it a disease in one person versus another person? Should we base it only on anthropometric measures, meaning like BMI or even waist circumference and weight, or should we start looking beyond this and looking at it a more clinical picture? What would you say?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that gets right to some of the major points that we're all working on right now to how do we better explain obesity as a disease process and reduce the vicious cycle of obesity stigma, bias, and that issue with calling it a disease and diagnosing it as such. So you can have low muscle mass and store most of your adipose tissue where we don't want it, that drives cardiometabolic disease, and that would be this term, adiposity-based chronic disease, even if your BMI is not elevated. The problem with obesity is that historically, it's been measured, classified, and even inappropriately diagnosed based upon BMI only because BMI is pretty darn good at a population level for estimating the amount of adipose tissue we have and correlating that with disease. But everybody's different. There's a lot of inter-individual variability. So like you said, some people do a great job of storing it and they don't develop that cardiometabolic disease. They might have biomechanical disease though, and that counts as complications of obesity for sure. But at any BMI, depending on your genetics and other factors, you can be developing severe adiposity-based chronic disease, complications of obesity. And so we really have to get away from the BMI, the weight, the numbers on the scale, and start thinking about this in a more clinical manner. What's on the inside is what counts. And so what are the risks of those harms? What are the harms themselves? And really, that ultimately, when we talk about other therapies, that's what should dictate how intense we are with our efforts from lifestyle through medicine and surgery and all that stuff.
Yeah. Someone was arguing with me on my Facebook. I'm always arguing with people on the internet. But I posted about how, carbs.
You get paid the big bucks.
You can lose. What's that?
I said that's why you get paid the big bucks.
Yeah, I get paid the big bucks for arguing with people. I posted about how you can eat carbohydrates and still lose fat despite spiking your insulin acutely from eating carbohydrates. And someone said, no, but there are people that are lean, that have a BMI of below 25 that have type 2 diabetes. And it's like, I had to explain, some people have different, what we call personal thresholds of how much fat they can store before it starts causing problems. So as my brother said, somebody could be very under-muscled and have very low muscle, so their body weight's low, and they start gaining more and more fat, and they technically have, according to a BMI, they're lean. And that's what the studies would show. This person, they would say this person's lean. But if you looked, probably did a DEXA scan or an MRI, you know, we could probably see the differences.
And I'll give you an anecdote to this. In talking about some of these things, I was recently working on some upcoming fatty liver guidelines. And, you know, we're debating. We're trying to come up with a consensus. Very evidence-based recommendations, but we still have to come up with a consensus on how to promote this and educate people. And we were having this exact debate with the liver experts on, you know, obesity at BMI and all that stuff. And they said, well, but what about the people who are lean? They don't need to lose weight. And I said, no, by definition, if it's non-alcoholic fatty liver that's driven by adipose tissue in the liver, like these other obesity-related complications, then it, by definition, is an adiposity-based chronic disease. They just don't have an elevated BMI. They're not lean. Their liver has fat in it, by definition. And so another example, you know, if you look at just mainstream guidelines, ADA, we start screening people from certain Asian ethnicities at lower BMIs for type 2 diabetes. A BMI of 23 is considered overweight.
Yep.
Because they store, in general, these are generalizations because we have to pick up, you know, it's population health a little bit. And we need to screen them for diabetes at lower BMIs because it's not just about BMI. It's about their individual adiposity and the harm it's causing. Now, there are other causes of diabetes. So there are also misdiagnoses, mind you. Right. There are different monogenic causes of diabetes. Obviously, there's type 1 diabetes. So there's certainly more to it, which is why, you know, we also require very holistic evaluations and considerations for any individual.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's where it comes down to a real good clinical diagnosis. We'll probably do a podcast all about the BMI at some point and how that's a little bit controversial in some
people. Our BMIs are elevated despite low body fat and good cardiometabolic health, I think.
Regarding that person that's under-muscled despite having a low BMI and fatty liver, that's where we'd be like, docs who lift, maybe we should start promoting lifting weights.
Absolutely.
Put some muscle.
Very important. Yes, absolutely. First line. Dietary quality, weight training, very important for that person, regardless of maybe the energy balance issue.
Here's a question for you. What's the point of even calling it a disease? Like, this is where people are like, why do you even have to call it a disease? Like, that's just, it may cause people to feel like they're helpless, hopeless, that they think, there's some studies around this, whether it does or doesn't, you know, I don't know. But what would you say to those types of people?
Yeah, and that's a tough, you know, I think that's up for, you know, discussion. Why do we call anything a disease then?
Yeah.
I think there are reasons beyond maybe our level of expertise, actually, that have to do with coverage.
Nothing
of,
above our
of treatment.
Let's just be honest.
So the coverage of therapy for disease. Yeah, we know everything, right? Therapies for disease, coverage. Yes. And, you know, again, not to be political at all, but it does tend to drive policy. Yeah. You know, there are government policies and things like that. And I think I would argue that most people are more maybe accepting and acknowledging their own obesity as a difficult disease to deal with, and they actually feel better that I don't think they feel helpless. In my experience, that's anecdotal. I don't know, the data are mixed, but
it depends on how you frame it. And I don't necessarily tell patients you have a disease. It's called obesity. I describe it look, you've tried everything, and it's because there's a biological driver. I don't have to even say it's a disease, but I do think...
Right. You're right. The patients don't even necessarily care that much. They know if you describe it as a complex disease that's hard to deal with, or you don't even have to say disease, but the diseases that come from it.
I often use the term weight. Yeah.
And we could debate that, and there are different, you know, studies on whether that's better or not, it's hard.
It is.
Yeah. It's easier said than done. And they embrace that, and they say, okay, wow. And I said, now let's find a way to help you.
We've gotten in arguments like, why call it a disease? And then, you know, when we say it, it's like, well, it comes down to funding. Can we get more treatments for it? And then it's like, well, then it's thought that there's this conspiracy of big pharma and big government are getting together. And, you know, okay, is it possible there's something there? Yeah, there's money involved. But I will say when we get into our podcast of how to actually treat obesity from this mindset of treating it like a disease, and we talk about medicines and surgeries and all this type of stuff, I would say I am very thankful for, especially as a clinician, for my patients to have these different therapies, to moving on to this idea of it being a disease and treating it as such, because I think we just haven't been good at it in the past, other than maybe surgery in the past. But
yeah, absolutely. And you know, and I think it gives us a framework for helping patients and other clinicians too, when we get into, you know, maybe we'll talk about, you know, the diagnosis and staging later rather than just obesity as a disease. But it helps us, going back to the whole BMI versus the, you know, what actually matters. You know, I say it's what's on the inside that counts to patients, and we should stage the severity of the disease based upon what risk they have of other chronic complications or what already complications they have. And so, you know, going back to our American Association of Clinical Endocrinology that I'm involved with, you know, we stage it 0, 1, and 2. Do you have zero complications and you're truly, truly healthy, but you have excess adipose tissue that puts you at risk of some of those diseases? Okay. Do you have mild disease? That's still something we need to address a little bit more aggressively. Or do you have pretty severe disease like type 2 diabetes, you know, all the components of metabolic syndrome, severe sleep apnea, severe knee arthritis? Those things need to be treated more urgently and with more intensity. And so it helps us in that regard. Forget the BMI. You, like you said, you can have a BMI of 57 and have no complications, probably unlikely, but you certainly are at high risk of problems and should be treated. But you can have a BMI of 23 with the right genetic milieu and have some severe disease. It doesn't mean you have to lose 100 pounds. It means you have to treat the disease process.
Yeah, so just before we end here, I think about a patient, you know, let's say a 40-year-old woman who has a BMI of, let's say, just around 30, but absolutely, they're running marathons, they feel great, there's no knee pain, no blood sugar issues, everything's perfect. And I do get these patients. And, you know, they do want to trim down. Okay, fine. According to BMI, they would have obesity, just BMI. But they would, very low staging. They're like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. If you keep up your habits.
So that person would be a stage zero. Yeah. But I would also argue that person is treating her obesity.
Right.
So she has excess adiposity at risk. She is treating it with pretty intensive lifestyle therapy. She's maintaining her weight and not developing the complications of obesity. So I'd argue she is treating her obesity already, even though we're going to talk about fine-tuning it.
Whatever, self-medicate, I mean, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But so then you got to, let's contrast that to somebody, you know, let's say another 40-year-old woman who has a 26 or 27 BMI, but has type 2 diabetes,
probably has an elevated waist circumference because she's holding it in her storing it abdominally.
Quite different scenarios there. So anyway, that's a point. The whole point of this podcast is describing this idea of obesity as a disease. It's very important to set up our future podcast where we talk a little bit more about obesity stigma, and maybe we'll get into more of clinically how we would treat some of these different stages. And then also it sets up, you know, the discussion of medication versus surgery, how intense we need to be treating. And then we'll go and have podcasts all about like specific obesity related conditions and how to maybe optimize treatment there. But anything else, Dr. Carl?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, the other thing we'll talk about is maybe a little bit more detail into the complexities of the energy balance system that works against us that we keep referring to.
Right.
Sometimes people like to hear like the more nerdy nuances of that. You know, I had a mentor once in endocrinology who said, embrace the complexity, but act with simplicity. So we have to try to balance this out for people. Some people like to hear all the complexities. Some people just want the simple answers, but we'll try to give both.
All right. Very good. That's it for a Docs Who Lift podcast, all about obesity as a disease. Till next time.